Black robes swishing down school hallways, rosary beads dangling from rope belts, white wimples pressing against cheeks. The singing nun, the flying nun, even the activist nun. Whether from personal experience or popular culture, people's images of nuns are often distorted. Some people see these religious women as angels, untouched by material concerns and petty desires. Others see them as repressed harpies, ready to crack the knuckles of disobedient students with a well-aimed ruler. In fact, nuns are a mixed lot. They come from all sorts of backgrounds and do a wide variety of work. And their numbers, in this country at least, are diminishing. Journalist Lucy Kalin spent the past few years talking to nuns and has just written a book called For the Love of God, The Faith and Future of the American Nun. She joins us from New York. Hello, Ms. Kalin.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Well, this is a kind of ascetic impulse which goes back for thousands of years. I mean, monks do it, nuns do it. Yet somehow, nuns have been the brunt of parody over the years, whereas monks haven't.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I think there's something kind of inherently, I don't know, suspect for people or terrifying for people about women in this role as number one, not wife and mother. I mean, that for the longest time is what has made this such a seemingly and in truth radical countercultural choice for a woman. I mean, the woman's role has always been in Western cultures anyway to be wife and mother and the protector of the culture, and this idea of kind of taking off and cloistering oneself behind monastery walls is, radical beyond belief. And I think that, in some sort of primal way, people are curious about this and frightened by it. And then, of course, you heap upon that the business of sexuality or, the decision to not express sexuality. All of this is seen, I think, as being quite questionable. And I think people find a way of dealing with it and sort of poking fun at it.
You talk about such a wide variety of women in the book. Let me ask you about two who work in a circus.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Joe and Sister Priscilla are from the Order of Little Sisters. Why do they work in a circus?
It seems so sort of strange and irrelevant to the task of serving God at first. But then, of course, when I spoke with them and spent time with them and then explored further, it made perfect sense. Their order was founded by little sister Madeleine Houtin, who realized the way to live as Jesus in these times would be to spend time with the most disenfranchised people she could think of, which were nomadic people. She spent time with the nomads of the Sahara, and her idea was simply to just live the difficult life that they lived, travel with them in tents and not proselytizing at all, but simply living, sort of giving grace to their lives and bringing them closer to God by being that sort of intermediary and living with them as they lived. So these women of the circus, they realized that this was a pretty good way of serving little sister Madeline's dreams. And so that's what they do. They don't proselytize at all. They do have a kind of a makeshift chapel set up in a trailer, but it's really where they pray and do some of their spiritual work. Certainly the circus people are welcome to join them whenever they want to, but it's really about being with the people and kind of honoring their struggles by joining in and living the same kind of difficult, very rough-and-tumble life that a circus person does.
Now, that's the mission of the Little Sisters, but there are so many orders that have different missions, such as the Sisters of Loretto. They're, as I understand it, they're teachers.
That's right. I mean, that they've, at this point, all kinds of Loretto sisters do all kinds of things, but for the longest time, they were teachers. Many were nurses. Also, interesting thing about them, of course, is I think they're very emblematic of that dramatic shift pre-Vatican II to post-Vatican II. They really were a very strict order in the early part of this century. They had lots of silence and lots of prayer and lots of hard work, and then of course the women would venture out to do some teaching when it was when they were called to do that. And then with Vatican II, which of course was the revolutionary council that took place between 62 and 65, in which religious orders and every facet of the church was rethought in light of the needs of modern parishioners, The Loretto sisters, a lot of them found a very progressive strain in their nature and kind of rethought everything. And a lot of them would travel far and wide for all kinds of far-flung teaching posts. They would start to live in twos and threes in apartments. And that whole notion of convent life would start to disintegrate a bit, as it has for so many orders of women. And that's, I think they're really an interesting example of a once very strict, very ordered community that now are seen to be, you know, quite progressive and doing the modern thing that so many nuns are doing.
Well, what this modern thing, as you put it, what kind of rift has that caused with the other orders or with the Vatican?
It's a kind of a volatile time, and it kind of has been for the last 30 years, because reinterpretation has happened on all levels. I mean, there are some nuns who think that it's really blasphemous to reinterpret a teaching charism as, oh, teach inner-city women about family planning, or teach English as a second language, or, you know, go to Central America and teach women about hygiene. I mean, things, you know, sort of went that way, which is to say that the doors really flew open. The same thing happened with the habit. Suddenly, a lot of nuns thought, well, we really, if we're going to meet the needs of the modern parishioner and be in the inner cities and passing out food and working with children, why wear these aggrandizing medieval robes? We should be wearing what the people are wearing. But then, of course, not all the women in the order would agree with that, and maybe a third would be in the old floor-length habit, another third might be in a knee-length habit, and another third would be in street clothes. And so this idea of the solidarity and the uniformity that once bonded these women was coming apart. And, you know, probably an even more graphic example would be the difference between a cloistered community and an active community. There would be those cloistered women who wonder, why all this running around? Why this going to Central America? Why all this time in the inner city? You should be praying, as they do. And as I say, it's up for grabs in many senses of the word.
You write, Lucy Kalin, that the number of nuns in this country has dropped dramatically over the past 40 years. There are now about 80,000 nuns left in the U.S. What does the future hold?
Oh, it's a tough question, and of course nobody knows the answer. It's a very hard time for the sisters now, although I like to think it's also a very exciting time. I think that they are sort of raising questions and dealing with issues in a very forthright and passionate kind of a way. That's not to say there are bad times or incurably bad times ahead. I don't know, nor do they. A lot of the sisters, when I would talk with them about it, were very serene. They sort of said, well, you know, religious life is a cyclical thing. We've been down before. We'll, you know, we're, our numbers are down now. We'll be up again. You know, you just don't know. It's cyclical. Then there are others equally serene who said, well, if you know, religious life dies out as we know it in this country in the coming century, maybe that's because we've outlived our usefulness at this particular time. And that's not such a bad thing either. It doesn't mean that we won't have a resurgence in another form. There will always be, as many sisters told me, there will always be committed spiritual women who want to serve God. Maybe they won't be called nuns. Maybe they won't live in community. Maybe they'll be something else entirely. But don't think for a minute there won't be women driven to this graced life of spiritual service.
Lucy Kalin's book is called For the Love of God, The Faith and Future of the American Nun.